It's good to be here tonight. Just as a quick reminder, guys, we have our prayer revival team prayer meeting, 8:30 Friday morning via Zoom. And so let's be in our place for that. That'll be a tremendous blessing together. We're looking forward to that. 8:30 Friday morning, we'll be praying together. And as you know, the format of that prayer is a little bit different. We are praying all together. And again, just praying for revival in the local church here. We want to continue to do that and see that the Lord does something marvelous. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning, up in my office, the ladies are having their ladies' devotion. They are safely distanced one of another, and they're going to have their devotion time tomorrow. That is at 10 a.m. So ladies, you can be there for that, and you enjoy yourself. We'll sure be praying for you. That'll be a tremendous blessing. And of course, Sunday, guys, 11 a.m. for our morning service. Looking forward to being back together this coming Sunday. Praise the Lord. So let's keep praying that the temperature stays around where it is. This is doable, and this is comfortable, I would say, comfortable compared to where we are in the wintertime. And I sure won't complain. Amen. Guys, it's good to be here tonight. And I told you we're changing a little bit of the format, as we have been in the past 6+ years, to where Wednesday evening is going to be a little more of a preaching message, a little more of a service than it has been in the past, whereas it's been morely Bible studies, both morning and evening services. So tonight I want to ask you to open your Bibles up, if you will, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Some of this will be a revisit just a little bit. I'll touch on a few things that may be new to some of you. I hope that it is a blessing to you to all that you need in your life and where you are. Psalm 23 is where we're going to be. We're going to read all 6 of the Psalms, but we're only going to bring tonight a thought on this, on green pastures. Green pastures is what we want to look at. Psalm 23, looking in verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, for who and what you are. We thank you for the many wonderful blessings that you've given us. Dear God, I thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. I thank you for opening doors, Father. I thank you for keeping us safe during this this encounter and this pandemic, if you want to call it, with COVID. Father, I thank you for putting a hedge of protection around us. I do pray that you continue to keep us safe. Lord, I pray for our government tonight that you would give them wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would give them direction. I pray, dear Lord, that you would overthrow those that may seem to attack the church or make things the way that would not be according to your will. But Lord, nevertheless, whatever decisions that are made in the upcoming weeks, let us, as your people, serve you with gladness. Let us serve you in the magnitude that we should, be in pleasing in thy sight. So Lord, I do love you and thank you for all that you've done and who and what you are. In Jesus Christ's name, we do ask. Amen and amen. We absolutely love the 23rd Psalm. I know that most people do. It's a very popular one. As a matter of fact, I remember, well, it's been probably 7-8 years ago now that we did a little Skype. I just got thinking about this the other day, to be honest with you, of how here we are in the middle of another lockdown, and we're continuing to do things on Zoom and all of these internet services and all the things that we've done in 2020 and what we're continuing to do today. And I'm thankful that their churches are allowed to be open. I'm very, very, very thankful for that, and I hope and pray that it'll continue to do so. But I remember going back even before there ever was a pandemic or an epidemic or any kind of demic, amen, other than just a pulpit-less demic, maybe that's what we want to call it. Spent 6 months teaching on Wednesday nights from the United States over here to our little group. Carol, you remember that, and we bring it. Carol brings it up quite well. One particular night, she will never forget, and that was the episode when she was struggling with the audio and the video and technical issues, like I had Sunday. Amen. So we can empathize one with another. The only difference is that she had people laughing at her, and I don't know about the people laughing at me. I'm sure they were laughing at me on Sunday as well. But nevertheless, I got thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? We got through that, didn't we? Amen? And what I did for 6 months, I taught on the 23rd Psalm. Wednesday, it didn't matter where I was in the United States in our travels, whether I was in a coffee shop parking lot or whether I was on my front porch or whether I was in a hotel room or in our RV, wherever it may have been, we stopped at the right time, you know, whatever time zone we were in, and we had our Wednesday evening service. And they were blessed. They were sweet. We had a sweet time of prayer and a great prayer meeting together. And so, you know, guys, it's really not anything new. And we just, like Coach Saban said, you adapt or you die. You've got to make the difference in your life. You've got to make a change. You've got to do something in your life to make sure we get the job done. Amen? And the 23rd Psalm is something that is near and dear to my heart. And not only because of that 6 months across the seas, but just the six verses, there's such a depth. Can you imagine teaching 6 months once a week on six verses? I mean, can you imagine the depth that is in that holy scripture? It's in these six verses here, the amazing things that we can learn. Guys, when you look at the opening text where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I've taught you what that means. That word Lord is the same root word that we get Yahweh. It's a personal name of God. It literally is defined as the self-existing eternal one. Yahrah, which is translated I am that I am in Exodus chapter 3, is the root derivative of this very title here, Lord. When you see that in your Bible with all capitals or capital L and small cap O-R-D, that's the difference that you know exactly who it's referring to. Even Sarah called Abraham Lord, but it wasn't an all capital Lord. It was three small letters on the back end of that capital L. There's a difference, amen? And we find that when the psalmist clearly says this, when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he understood who God was. He understood that the Lord was the self-existing eternal one. Always has been, always is, and always will be. He is our sovereign Savior. He is our sovereign Savior, shepherd of this world. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. My friend, he is the greatest shepherd, if you will. But the greatest part of all of that, he is our shepherd. He is my personal shepherd. And I'm thankful that the same Lord who created the heavens and the earth is the same Lord who is my protector and your protector. The same Lord who created the birds and the bees and the sycamore trees, he is my provider and he is your provider. The same Lord that spoke everything into existence is my healer and your healer. That is a personal God who is a self-existent eternal one. Think about that here tonight. He is our righteousness. He is our shepherd. I mean, by being all of these things to us, we must understand he is our chief shepherd. The chief shepherd devised a way to protect his sheep. And the sheep are inside the sheepfold. If we were to do that in-depth study on Psalm 23 as we did in times past, you'll understand that in order to provide for them, being the sheep, he gave them a shepherd. Remember, the sheep are the people. The sheepfold is the local church, and the shepherd is the pastor. God has given that. Ephesians chapter 4 says that he gave some, said apostles and prophets. Then he said pastors and teachers and evangelists. A pastor is a gift to a local church. I'm not saying that because I'm a pastor. As a matter of fact, I'm borrowing that from a guy who preached that I heard 25 years ago preach. That's what it is. God has given the local church a pastor. Why? To help protect the sheep inside the sheepfold. Amen. So having said all that and having reviewed it real quick tonight, we need to understand that we are the sheep of the chief shepherd. The Bible tells me in Psalm 100 in verse 3, it says, know ye not, the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. In Psalm 80 in verse 1, he says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Psalm 79 in verse 13 says, so we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praises to all generation. And it says in Psalm 95 in verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice. Beloved, anyone who has raised sheep, and I tell you what, there's more sheep in Wales than there are people. We got sheep everywhere. I mean, they're all over the place. We were heading over to the church to fill in for Brother Preston last Thursday, and across that mountain road, you've already experienced it probably half a dozen times already. Man, you got to keep your eyes open. It's a beautiful view that if you look over, but you better not look too long because the sheep's going to pop down off that mountainside and you're going to hit that thing. They're everywhere, amen? They are absolutely everywhere. And you can really, if you begin to study them, you begin to look at how they act and how they're led and how they're raised, you can get a great understanding of why God likens us to sheep. They're different. They're a different breed of animal. They're not like raising dogs or cows or pigs or even cats for that matter. Number one, what you need to understand tonight, sheep are sensitive. Sheep are very, very sensitive. Sheep are easily affected to stress and other types of situations that may or may not come into their lives. They just are. Sheep are a very sensitive breed of creatures. Keep in mind that sheep are prey animals. And many times over, they will overreact to something that's not even there. I mean, sheep sometimes will just react for no reason, and there wasn't anything there. Maybe it was a crack or an echo from 10 miles away, and then all of a sudden they'll jump and they'll go. They'll leap out sporadically in any direction because they are a prey animal. Oftentimes, sheep do things that they ought not to do. They do it by thinking or assuming or acting upon a given incident that's may or may not even be present. I ask you this question here. Does that sound familiar? Do we do that as human beings? Do we overthink? Do we overreact? Do we overassume certain elements in our life, things that aren't even there? And we burn so much energy in our life today in concerning ourselves with something that's not even present. I mean, sheep succumb to a bacterial disease known as pasteurilosis. Often it's also referred to what's called shipping fever. It attacks sheep when they are under the stress of being shipped from one location to another one. A fever sets in, which is followed by a respiratory difficulty, many times leading to pneumonia and other symptoms, other symptomatic disorders. They're very sensitive creatures, believe it or not. Now, we may not would think so because we see them along the hillside and we see them all over the place, and there's so many of them, but they really and truly are administrative. Very sensitive. Antibiotics are administered today. A primary cure for this particular diagnosis, this shipping fever, if you will, believe it or not, is rest and isolation. Now, I'm not talking about a lockdown right now, but with or without the antibodies, the ultimate cure for that shipping fever in sheep today is simple rest and isolation. In the days of David, there were no synthetic antibodies to give to the sheep. Yet shepherds knew the cure was simply for them to lie down, rest, listen to this, in a lush green pasture. That's simple, isn't it? It's amazing how God takes this shepherd boy, makes him the greatest king that Israel ever had, a man after God's own heart, and yet he uses the illustration of Jesus Christ being the chief shepherd and his people being sheep, and he ties it together. So the first thing that we know about sheep are sensitive. Secondly tonight, sheep are shallow-minded. They are shallow-minded. I want you to remember, if you will, that sheep are not performance animals. Sheep have a tendency to be very unteachable. How many times do you see sheep jumping through rings of fire? How many times do you see people trying to put their head inside a sheep's? You don't see that. They're not performance animals. They're in many ways, they are completely unteachable. And that's not to say that they're untrainable, but they're very difficult to teach. But we as sheep need to be reminded many times over and over and over. And I know I do. I mean, we were talking about this in Q&A Bible study yesterday, that one of the illustrations from the devotion that I gave yesterday morning online, I wanted to kind of go a little deeper, but I didn't want to go too long in the devotion. But how often do we fail to trust God in our life? And yet we look back and we're like, you know what? God's got me out of this. He's protected me for that. God has done this, 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 and this. And yet something else is presented in our life and we begin to fret. And we begin to fear. And we're like, oh, he's not going to take care of it this time. Yet he's taken care of us the 1,256,793 times before. But he's not going to worry. He's not going to take care of this one. Yeah, in a way, that's an unteachable characteristic that we have as human beings. It really is. Now, I'm not saying you do that every time. But you see the same characteristic in sheep. Unteachable, not untrainable per se. They just have to be reminded over and over and over. And I see us all having that same type of trait in our life. We see it so many times in our own life, guys. We see it so many times. And how many times have we found ourselves in a situation really and truly of duplicity, and we just wonder what's going to happen next? Now, there's some people that seem to be worse than others. I get that. And just continue to getting themselves into the same situations and the same problems and the same issues of life. And I understand those are problematic people, problematic issues. Nonetheless, we all have that repetitive act of malignity, if you will, present in our life sometime or another. Every one of us are guilty of it sometime or another. The greatest reason for this continuing act of really refutation among sheep is found in what Paul says unto the Roman Christians. Turn over to Romans, if you will, and look at Romans chapter 3. This is a beautiful illustration, a great reason of why we find that so many people continue to do the same thing and distrust the Lord and not put their faith fully in what God is doing and what he has done. Romans chapter 3, and look at verse 10 with me. Romans chapter 3, and look at verse 10 tonight. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace, listen carefully, in the way of peace, they have not known, or have they not known? And here's the kicker. There is no fear of God before their eyes. One of the greatest reasons we continue to find ourselves in some of the same predicaments of our life is because of a lack of a fear of the fear of God. Guys, I believe in all of my heart that there should be a fear of God in our life. Now, I know God loves us, and I know God is love, and I know that he gave a sacrifice for us, but there should be a bit of a fear there as well. That's not popular in today's generation. Young people today have no earthly idea what it means. Do you want me to take my belt off? They don't know what that means. And they're like, well, I don't care, take your belt off. What does that mean? When I heard that phrase when I was a kid, it didn't matter what I was doing. I started straightening up and looking around and trying to find a place that I could start dancing because I knew I was about to get my tail torn up, amen? It's called a tail whipping. But this society we live in today, there's just no fear of authority figures. I have never in my life seen a young generation of people who have no problem whatsoever disrespecting elderly people, disrespecting adults, will swear at them and cuss them out. And what they need is just a good old-fashioned taken to the shed. Let's just call it what it is. Not trying to get arrested or get anybody upset or anything. I'm just telling you, if there's a fear, it will cause someone to straighten up. And the same thing is with us today. If we'll get that good, healthy, godly fear in our life, it'll help us straighten up at those things that we seemingly are holding on into the life. Beloved, it was David that said, and I missed that one, I don't think I got it up there, but David said in Psalm 55 and in verse 19, he said, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old Selah, because they have no changes, and therefore they fear not God. Guys, when you possess a fear of God, of which, you know, we may get to tonight, I may save it to next week, I'll watch my time. When you have a good, healthy fear of God, you'll have a change in your life. The gossiper will stop gossiping. The smoker will stop smoking. The drinker will stop drinking. The liar will stop lying. The sluggard will stop being lazy. And the rebel will stop rebelling if you got a good old-fashioned fear of God there. Beloved, not only are sheep sensitive, not only are they shallow-minded, but they're susceptible. Sheep are susceptible. Sheep have no natural defense mechanisms. Niecy and I were talking about this again this last week, just looking at the sheep and seeing them along the sideline, the side there of the road. They have no natural defense, a sheep doesn't. So they're vulnerable. The sheep are vulnerable to attacks. And we guys are vulnerable to spiritual attacks in our life. David said in Psalm 17 and verse 11, he says, "They have now compassed us in our compassed up in our steps. They have set their eyes, bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places." Guys, we are susceptible, and he's out there. So, 1 Peter 5:8, we know the verse quite well. "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Guys, he's looking for an opportunity to attack the prey. And he wants, and no matter how he gets you, at the end of the day, he's got you. And he's looking for that opportunity. I mean, it may be through, you know, lasciviousness. It may be through promiscuity. It may be through temptations of other things in this world. It may be through pride or envy or anything along that line. But that's what he's looking for, and we're all susceptible to it. Guys, I believe in our life. I told you the other day that I was talking to a dear friend of mine back in the States. He rang to ask a Bible question, and we talked for 50 minutes on the phone. And a preacher friend of mine, and we just got to talk. You got to love people. You got to love people. I honestly think that if somebody is in the ministry as their calling or their job, the prerequisites is not a Bible degree. The prerequisites, after you're saved, of course, and you're born again, and I believe get some knowledge up underneath you, but you've got to love people. You can have all the knowledge in the world. If you don't love people, this is the wrong place to be. You can quote the Bible from front to back and backwards again. If you do not love people, this is the wrong field to be in. You got to love souls, man. And that's the thing, guys. A soul is an eternal place, is an eternal entity that is going to be somewhere in eternity. It's going to live somewhere, either heaven or hell. And if you will just love them and understand that they are susceptible to every sin that is in this world today, if you'll understand that, you may be the deciding factor, the changing force that turns them away from being a prey to the devil to being a victor in Christ. So sheep are susceptible. I'll tell you another thing. Sheep are strollers. They're strollers. We as sheep, guys, we're prone to wander. We've heard that in the old hymn. And we're reminded of this every single day. But especially when we sing that famous Robert Robinson hymn, "Come Thou Fount." I love that. It's one of the reasons. I know I wear it out on Sunday for offertory, but it's one of my favorite hymns. "Come Thou Fount." Saying, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love." Beloved, he's speaking of a sheep-like trait, and that's in us. We are prone to wonder. We get ourselves in trouble when we begin to stroll, when we begin to move about, when we begin to wonder. Not only are sheep susceptible, not only are sheep strollers, but sheep are subjective. We are a dependent creature, a trait that many have refused, many have rejected, many have rebelled against. We want to say that we're not dependent people, but I'm telling you, our natural makeup as human beings, as the creature that was created by God, we are created to be dependable. You cannot, I don't care who you are, you cannot do this alone. The only thing you can do on your own is get yourself in trouble. Amen? Guys, sheep must have a sheepfold. And again, we're in this day and age now. I can remember years ago when I first started teaching and preaching on Psalm 23. It was a better part of probably 15 years ago now. And we were in the internet age at that time, but nothing remotely like we are today. Probably longer than that now that I think about it. These years have flown by. We were in the internet age, I get it, but nowhere near where we are today. You got everything, every option that you could ever imagine on that computer. I got to be honest, guys, I don't keep up with things online as much as I should. A friend of mine put a comment out today warning fellow Bible believers, warning Christians about some group out there that's a nut group. I'd never heard of them. And I've heard other preachers mention them. I've never heard of them. And I just wrote him back and said, hey, brother, appreciate this. I've never heard of this group. I've never heard of them, but I appreciate you giving us a heads up. And that caused a couple other comments, you know, of tell me who they are. I don't know who they are, but guys, sheep are so susceptible today. They're so subjective. They're so dependent. We are dependent upon other people. And the options today are so wide and yet so varied, but so dangerous. From every YouTube evangelist and every guy with a whiteboard and in his short sleeve shirt and a tie, he looks like a hotel manager telling you when Jesus is coming back and all of this stuff and all of this prophecy. Guys, I love prophecy as much as the other person, but if you are not careful, you begin to see behind every shadow the next event that you think is going to happen when you should be in that book to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. As sheep, guys, we got to be careful to what we subject ourselves to. We are dependent people. It's part of our natural makeup. And when we leave the sheepfold, you look around you tonight inside this church. This is the sheepfold. Your living room in front of a TV is not the sheepfold. Now, again, I said this yesterday on Tuesday, Zoom and Facebook Live and all of that stuff are good alternatives if we have to use them. But it is not the local church. Yes, you can have fellowship on Zoom. We can have a sweet time together. I love Tuesday afternoons. Absolutely love it. I love answering Bible questions. I love digging, and I love the chatter and the comments and the talking. I love every aspect of Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m., but it is not the church. It is not the sheepfold. We are dependent people. Again, let me emphasize, it is a good alternative when you have to do it out of necessity, but it is not a replacement. It is not the best. And guys, we have got to stop sacrificing what's best upon the altar of that which may be good or better. Sheep practice their natural abilities. We practice our natural abilities by leaning on natural man. We as sheep must depend on the chief shepherd, the church shepherd, and the sheepfold, and even the sheep, which is one another. Beloved, as sheep, we are dependent, yet oftentimes we are distracted. And we put ourselves in grave danger in doing so. I want you to remember, guys, if sheep are rolled over, maybe due to a fall, they typically can't right themselves up. We are dependent upon one another. Sheep need a shepherd to come by and help them. Sheep need the shepherd to come by and guide them and direct them and to protect them and to provide for them as the sensitive creatures that we are. And having said all that here this evening, it is easier to understand how and why sheep get stressed out in the way they do. It's easy to understand in turn how they get sick, spiritually sick. And so the pattern goes as follows. As sensitive creatures, sometimes affects us rather easily. Something unwarranted, something unattended. And so once the sheep are easily affected because we are shallow-minded, we are susceptible, and as a result of strolling out of the sheepfold, it is our sensitivity that convinces us to make the same mistakes as before, which is wandering out of the fold. As soon as the sensitivity kicks in, people react naturally rather than spiritually, and what do? They leave the church, they skip a service, they stop coming here, they stop coming there, and then they sit back and they wonder why they're spiritually starving and their home is dying. It's because they did not come to the sheepfold to get protected, to be provided for, to be tendered and touched by the Word of God. So, we need to understand, guys, because we're dependent people, because we need God, we need the church, we need the Word of God, we need one another. The answer is simple. It is the strength given by the chief shepherd from within the fold, which gives us the needed protection as sheep, because we are dependent upon, ultimately, the chief shepherd, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, beloved, as we understand tonight, because Jesus Christ is our shepherd, he is our Savior, he is our security. And that's why when we look in Psalm 23 and we look at the latter part of verse 2, or the first part of verse 2, that it says clearly that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Beloved, he gives us the needed rest. He gives us the needed time from the stress of everyday life in dealing with the world. Think about it for just a second here, and I'm closing, guys. I'll finish the rest of this next week. Think about it for just a second. The Lord that is my shepherd is the creator of the universe, the self-existing eternal one. Who could know us better than the one who created us? Amen. Think about that for just a second. Who is your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, they will never know you as intimate as God knows you. Who could know you better? If you were a builder and you built a car and you built it from ground up, you know every bolt, you know every screw, you know every spark plug, you know everything, where it goes and how it goes, because you are the one that built it. Guess what? No one's going to know it better than you. So who knows us better than the one that created us? So with that thought, who can care for us more than the one who died for us? Your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, they love you and probably love you more than you can even imagine. I promise you that. And I guarantee you there's probably, I know I would die for my children, I would die for my wife. I don't have an issue with that. I don't have a problem with that. But if I die for my wife or my children, I'm not coming back again. And albeit my death may save them in the middle of an incident, my death is not going to give them eternal life. So who would care for you better than the one that said, look, I'll take their place. He who knew no sin, yet became sin for us. Jesus Christ. So who can lead us? Who can lead us more carefully than the one who knows us, knows the end from the beginning? Who's better to lead us in our life today? Is it government? Is it men, women, prime ministers, presidents, kings, queens? No. There is no one that can lead us more carefully than the one who knows the end from the beginning, because he knows where he needs to take you. Therefore, either through the trials, through the tribulations, through the hard times, through the bad times, through the dark days, through the depressing moments, through the hours of distraction, it is our God who will bring us to the green pastures and say, now it's time to lay down. Now it's time to rest. Now it's time for you to recharge. Now it's time for you to relax, because I know what's on the other side. And because I know what's on the other side, I'm having you lie down in green pastures right now. Why? Because I care for you more than anyone else. Why? Because I know your makeup better than anyone, because I created you. And therefore, he leads us into the green pastures so that we can get the needed rest for our lives. So we can have a moment of relaxation so that we can recharge and go forward into the next day. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you've given us. We thank you for who and what you are. Pray this evening that you would please watch over us, give us the guidance and grace and mercy that we need to better and best serve you. Lord, we do love you. We do thank you for the opportunity to be together tonight. Most importantly, I thank you for eternal salvation that you have given me. And Lord, I thank you for this precious and perfect word that we can apply into our life for every bit of our faith and for every bit of our practice. Lord, bless us as we go into our time of prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. I hope and pray that the preaching and teaching of the Word of God was a blessing to you tonight. And so we're going to get ready to go into our prayer meeting now.